Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. On Saturday, Dr. Michael Heisler and some 30 bicyclists begin a trek that takes them from Skykomish, Washington to Sioux Falls. The 1,500-mile, three-week-long trip is a fundraiser to support the completion of a hospital in Santo Domingo, Ecuador. Along the way, the group will also deliver small grant awards to rural community clinics, including one in Winter and another in Parkston. Dr. Heisler is the chair of the Andean Health and Development's Advisory Board, and the organization is dedicated to improving rural health care in Ecuador and other rural communities throughout the Americas. He served as a professor at the USD Sanford School of Medicine since returning home to South Dakota in 2009. Earlier this year, he assumed an additional position as professor of medicine at the University of Wisconsin. Dr. Heisler joins us on the line from Washington, where he's preparing for the 20-day bike trip. And Dr. Heisler, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, what all do you need to do yet before you take off on Saturday?
Well, you know, we're in Spokane, and we leave in about 20 minutes and then complete the drive across to Seattle. And then all of the riders are coming in from around the country today and tomorrow. So really, it's organizing the bikes and making sure they're ready to go and loading the trailer and getting everything set. And then Saturday morning at 6, we pull out from where we're staying in Seattle and head up to Skykomish, and at 8 o'clock, 30 of us climb on our bikes and head up over Stevens Pass and start coming home to Sioux Falls.
Now you mentioned that the bikers are coming from all over the country. Who are they?
So there are folks from Florida, from places on the East Coast, from New York, from Chicago, from Milwaukee, from San Francisco, from Seattle, from Oregon. And these are people, some are accomplished cyclists, and some are folks who this will be the biggest and the most daunting ride they've done. They're all connected one way or the other to Andean Health and Development, and either directly or friends of friends or members of families or that sort of thing, they got caught up in this adventure and decided to give it a try.
So what do you all have to do to prepare physically and, I suppose, even emotionally for a demanding bike trip like this?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And people ask me, since we live just north of Sioux Falls, a little bit south of Del Rapids, and we're going over the northern end of the Rockies, and then we cross the Cascades, then we cross the northern end of the Rockies, then we come into the Black Hills. So we'll have climbed between 50 and 60,000 feet of climbing on this trip. And people say to me, "No, wait a minute, you live in South Dakota. How in the world do you get ready for that kind of climbing?" And I tell them I have a little secret that no one knows about. It's called the wind. So what we do, what the folks who have the access to climbs do, is they ride a lot of miles and do a lot of time trials and climbs. What I do for this ride and the other rides that I've done with friends to raise money for Andean Health is I literally look at the map each day, and I figure out where the headwinds are, and instead of trying to get away from them, I know this sounds crazy, but it's true, I actually ride as hard as I can into the headwind for as long as I can, and it works out pretty well.
So how was this route chosen from Skykomish over so many mountains to Sioux Falls?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and people ask us that. We have this big, beautiful trailer that was done by Triton Trailers over in Milwaukee for us with all of the map and the routes and the towns, and they say exactly that. Why is Seattle and why Sioux Falls? The real short answer to that is that my main riding partner, who I've done all these other rides with, is in Seattle, and then my wife and I, you know, live in South Dakota. She was raised in Sioux Falls. As you mentioned, I'm on the faculty at USD, so it's our home. And then as this developed, it became clearer to us that we actually got lucky, because we're riding across Washington, Idaho, Montana. We cut across the northeast corner of Wyoming and then all the way across South Dakota. And all of those states, as you know, and as the listeners all know, they're big, open, rural states with lots of challenges and lots of issues focused on providing health care to rural communities. We didn't plan it that way initially. Our initial focus was trying to raise funds to complete the hospital in Ecuador. But the more we thought about it, it just became a perfect route for us, because we're going through communities that are facing a lot of the same challenges of how do you find health providers that come and build their careers in those communities, and we can talk at some point if you'd like, and I know you already know all of this, the importance of health care to rural communities, both in terms of access to health care, but also in terms of the economy of the community, is just a huge issue. So it turned out to be a perfect route.
Yeah, and this we were just talking about that a few minutes ago when we were discussing the Rise Up program, which is helping to get health care, get young health young students involved in health care in some of these underserved communities. And along the way on this bike trip, Dr. Heisler, I understand that you're giving grants to some rural hospitals in Montana and South Dakota.
So this thing has evolved. We started working on this in October, and it's just taken on a life of its own. I mean, a person who I'm sure you know, Rick Novy, who I know and who I talk to about some of this, I had breakfast with him about a month and a half ago, and he knew about this ride, and he said, you know, this is great, and people will certainly get interested and excited about the idea of hospitals and clinics and teaching centers in Latin America truly being self-sufficient, run 100% by people from Latin America, and not needing endless funding. They'll get interested in that for sure. But if you really want to get people's attention and engage the communities and have more fun, by the way, you said think about identifying programs that are really doing creative, important work around rural health and community health in the towns and the little places that you're going to be riding through. So I won't bother you with all the details, but I thought he was exactly right about that, and he's turned out to be 100% right about that. So we set up a small committee. We went through a long nomination process. We identified criteria. And then you're exactly right, Carl. We ended up picking a place in western Montana, one in eastern Montana, a recipient in western South Dakota, and one in eastern South Dakota. And all four of those towns, those clinics, are doing really important, innovative work around rural health. And the benefit to us is, apart from the grants and the award and the recognition and hopefully getting to shine the light on these programs that almost get no coverage, they're doing this incredible work and nobody knows about them, is it'll make it more fun for us. Because now we get to spend, you know, four evenings with people in these towns and get to spend time with them. So it makes it good for everybody.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Dr. Michael Heisler. He's the chair of the Andean Health and Development Organization. He's also on the faculty at the USD Sanford School of Medicine. And on Saturday, he's leading bicyclists, some 30 bicyclists, on a trek that takes them from Skykomish, Washington, to Sioux Falls to raise funds to support the completion of a hospital in Ecuador. And Dr. Heisler, tell us a little bit about this organization, the Andean Health and Development.
Well, you know, so again, the short version, because, you know, all of these stories can go on forever, but the very short version of this is that a graduate of the University of Notre Dame, a place that I went to as well, decided after lots of thinking and trying to figure out how to use his life in a way that would be of service to other people, and with a lot of advice from Father Theodore Hesburgh, who was the president of the university at that point, he decided that he wanted to find some way to make a difference in rural communities, especially in health, the health service of the rural communities in Ecuador. He's married to a woman from Ecuador, so he knew firsthand the challenges in Ecuador and the other Latin American countries. And so he came back to Notre Dame and talked to Father Hesburgh and told him that, and began an 11-year process to get educated in medical school, residencies, tropical health, and then he went back and founded Andean Health. Father Hesburgh called me in my office at Emory University in Atlanta 16 years ago and asked me if I would help with this project. And I told him at that point that I really didn't have time. I couldn't believe I said that to him. And the reason I said that to him, though, was because I said what we really need to do in health in particular, but in development and all of that, is not just keep doing handouts. If we really want to do work that matters, we have to find a way to help these communities do their own work that can go on and be sustained. And I said, if you're really interested in doing that, and if this other person, Dr. Gallus, is interested in that, then I can find some time. But if you just want to do a clinic, as important as that is, then I don't think it's the best way to spend time. And the short version is they both were interested in that. So Andean Health took off. They built their first hospital in a community of 70,000. The idea was that it would be self-sustainable in 7 years. It made it in six. And then the second thing that happened is we realized that to really make a difference, you have to train residents. So we're training family medicine residents now, and we needed a bigger hospital to do that. And there was a community, Santo Domingo, that's 500,000 people. But it's a rural community. I know that sounds strange to say, but it really is, in essence, a rural community. And there was basically very little health care. So the new hospital was built, and the training center, and the clinic. It opened last June. And this bike ride is to help raise the money to finish paying off the construction cost of that hospital. The unique thing about Andean Health is that it's committed to training, and it's committed to 100% Ecuadorians, and it's committed to finding ways for these communities to pay their own way, which nobody, by the way, thought could be done, and yet it's been done. So it's kind of exciting.
Have you spent much time in Ecuador?
Yeah, I have. Not nearly the kind of time that Dr. Gauss from Madison, Wisconsin has, but my wife is a family physician in Sioux Falls. She works at the Center for Family Medicine. She and I actually have spent a lot of time living in sub-Saharan Africa, where we began to do this sort of work. And she and I have both been to Ecuador a number of times, and in my role as chair of the board, of course, I have to go there more frequently than her. And, you know, the thing that you discover, and Carl, I know you know this, and you don't have to go to Ecuador to figure this out. You can go down the street in Sioux Falls to figure this out. But what we've discovered a long time ago is that if you're poor, it doesn't mean that you're stupid. It just means you're poor. And in fact, oftentimes are creatively resilient and able and hardworking, and that's exactly what we discovered in Ecuador. And these folks have run with this thing and built this incredible hospital, and they're doing amazing work. It's so exciting when you see these family medicine residents from Ecuador who came from these small villages, found a way to get into medical school, and now are training in rural medicine, and they really want to spend their life making a difference. And they're in our training program, and they're going to go out across the country and open up other clinics and teach other residents and hopefully make a big difference in their life. That's really good stuff.
Well, Dr. Heisler, the bike trip, as we mentioned, begins on Saturday. You arrive in Sioux Falls on July 4th. What are the plans for when you get to Sioux Falls on the 4th of July?
Well, that's great, so I'm glad you asked. So one of the things that I hope people who are listening will think about is considering coming out in once we get to South Dakota, and joining us and riding either from the hills across, or meet us in winter and ride across, or meet us on July 3rd in Parkston. The event and the award ceremony for St. Benedict's Clinic in Parkston, and also recognizing the South Dakota USD Farm Program, which is exactly the kind of work that you were talking about earlier, Carl, by getting young medical students and residents committed to rural communities early. That all will take place at 4 o'clock in Parkston, and then we're having a picnic that evening. And then the next morning on the 4th of July, however many of us are left and however many come join us, and that's why I'm hoping people will go to our website and really think about coming down to Parkston. And then we're going to ride into Sioux Falls. We arrive the mayor's picnic on the 4th of July at Falls Park. And we will arrive and be part of that picnic. And then that evening, I'm going to introduce all these people to a little bit of small town South Dakota. We live in Garrettson, and I'm going to take them out, and we're going to do a picnic and go to the ball game and go to the fireworks out in Garrettson and show them a little bit of South Dakota. So I really hope people will go to our website and think about coming and riding that last day with us.
And what is that website?
The website is Andean Health, AndeanHealth.org. And if you go to that website, you'll see a little logo up in the left-hand corner of the bicycle, and they can click on that, and there's all the information that they need. It's a completely supported ride, and it'd be fun to have other South Dakotans and other folks from Sioux Falls come help us make the last ride in. It would be a lot of fun to have people join us, and they're completely welcome.
Well, this sounds like the last day, a great way to celebrate the 4th of July.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I want them to see my state, and I want them to see my town. And there's no better way than coming into Sioux Falls on the 4th of July and coming down to the falls. And then, as I said, getting them out to Garrettson and meeting my neighbors and watching the fireworks out there. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
So for the 20 days of this bicycle trip, how do you stay, invigorated? How do you keep from getting tired? How do you get everyone to keep going, and how do you stay motivated?
Well, you know, so I suspect a lot of people who are listening to us already ride bikes a lot, and they know all about this. But the key really is the usual business of hydration and recovery and all of that the cyclists, you know, already know about. The real motivation, I think, is that, first of all, the theme we had for this ride and that we're using every day is safe, beautiful, and fun. And we keep using those words over and over again. We don't care if people set, you know, time trial distances. We don't care how fast people ride. We don't care if people ride all 70 miles every day. We really want people just to come and enjoy each other's company. The beauty part, we just drove from Sioux Falls. We left there on Monday afternoon, and we've driven the route in reverse, so we now know every road that we're going to be coming across, and the beautiful part's all done. This ride is going to be spectacular. I mean, the other night, we came across the Yellowstone River at sunset, and it just knocked my socks off. So the beauty and the fun part keep people motivated. The safety part, keep people really focused because, you know, there's a lot of ways you can get hurt on these kind of big bike rides. So you have to be really careful. That keeps people focused. And I think these rural health awards, you know, going from community to community will make it fun. It'll break up the ride a little bit and invigorate us. And then the last thing is, you know this, and people listening know this. We know the reality in rural South Dakota and Montana and across the way. We know how hard people work to keep their health systems working. We know what it means in Ecuador because we've been there for us to complete this ride and raise this money. And I think that's the motivation. You know, people may be surprised to hear me say this. I'm trained in critical care medicine, so I'm an intensive care unit physician. But I really mean this. I think the best, most impressive physicians and nurses in the United States are the men and women who work in these rural communities. They're the real nurses and the real docs. They do it all, and they get no recognition, and they get no acknowledgement. They get paid the least, and they're the backbone of the health system. So we're going to get to spend time with those folks, and that'll charge us up every evening as we go through these small towns. So maybe that was too long of an answer, but that's how I think it's going to work.
Dr. Michael Heisler is on the faculty of the USD Sanford School of Medicine. He's also chair of the Andean Health and Developments Advisory Board. He's leading a bike trek from Washington State to Sioux Falls to raise money to support the completion of a hospital in Santo Domingo, Ecuador, along the way, bringing some grants to a few small rural hospitals. And the bicyclists arrive in Sioux Falls on July 4th. For more information, you can visit andeanhealth.org. And Dr. Heisler, thanks so much for joining us on Dakota Midday, and I hope you have a safe and fun bike trip.
Carl, thanks very much for having me, and folks, come ride with us from Parkston. We'd love to see you.